Lord, I ask that you would work today through this message, that you would speak to each of us concerning our lives and what you call us to be as your people. And I ask that you would bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. One announcement. We need some people to stay after to help decorate for Bible school right after church, right? And where are you going to meet? Find Jody out there. Stand up so they can see you. Find her and she'll put you to work. They need to decorate for Vacation Bible School. Okay? I would like for you to read with me Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 4 and then 9 to 10. Those two sections right there. Here we go. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and lo, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, last week, in keeping with our Vacation Bible School and the Mission Impossible theme that we're using this year, and I really do want to give credit to those who put it together and wrote it and did all the work, because it's actually a creation of ours. We didn't take it out of a can someplace and put it together. So I want to give that. And in keeping with that, I looked at really the biggest Mission Impossible in the Bible, which was when Moses was commissioned by God to go down to Israel to set the people free. Now that is Mission Impossible, sending one man to free 2 million people from the greatest nation on the earth. And last week I talked about the equipment for Mission Impossible, and we talked about the three signs. Anyway, Moses had some questions. And the first question is Exodus 3:11. After God does all this, read with me that verse right there. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? First question is, who am I that I should do this? Well, you know, I've heard that question. God may have given you something to do over the years. Anybody ever said that question? Who am I to do this? Who am I? And that is the first question that I think all of us have. Who am I to do this? And then the second question is, who shall I say sent me? Read with me 4:1. Then Moses answered, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. How am I? Wait a minute. God, I have no credentials here. Just because I walk into a place that God sent me to say to you, how come they would believe that? What are my credentials? Do I get a badge? What do I get? Who shall I say sent me? And anyway, God talks to him and gives him his name, which is the I Am. And we talked about that last week. And then he gave him the three signs. He says, this is what you'll do. Now, one of the things I want you to know about Moses and pretty much us is we are reluctant saints. You know, when God asks you to do something, a lot of times you say, I don't want to do that. Who shall I say sent me? What are my credentials? do I get a badge or something to say that, you know, who am I to do this? And God answers Moses. He says, you're going to discover who you are in my presence after you bring these people to me and all that. Who shall I say sent me? And God answers that question by saying, I am that I am, which is kind of like we saw George Burns give that card to John Denver last week in Oh God, which is, here's my card. It says God on it. And that's all you get. But what he's saying in that is, I am who I am. And that word in the Hebrew means the self-existent one whose name is holy, who is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, the all-powerful and one who understands where you are all the time, the one who is with you and surrounds you in all the days of your life, the one who walks with you each day. The one who was with you, Moses, when you were a babe and they put you in the Nile River, who went before you to Pharaoh's daughter. I will never forsake you. I am who is complete in my own being. And we'll see what is begun in you shall be completed. I am the one. Now that would have been a good place for Moses just to stop and says, who shall I say sent me? But he doesn't stop there, and he says, okay, it would have been good to say, I'm your man, okay? But he doesn't. He says, well, can I have some signs? And we talked about the equipment for Mission Impossible last week. But here, God says, here, try these on. and then he gets the snake, the stick that turns into a snake. He sticks his hand in his robe, and it comes out, and it's leprous. And then he says, when you get down to land, when you get down to the Nile River, you get the third one, and we'll work it out. So here comes Moses. This guy is splendid. I love him. He is so much like us. We are reluctant saints. Oh, God, are we ever? Read with me Exodus 4:10. But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either heretofore or since thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses says, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent. Well, Moses, old buddy, if that's true, where did you learn that fancy word? Either heretofore or since then thou hast spoken to thy servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue. Now, I don't know what you think, but I think that's pretty fast talking for a guy who stutters. This is a majestic oration, don't you think? But, oh, Lord, I am not eloquent. I am slow of tongue, but I can't get it out fast enough. You see, this is where the rubber hits the road. We talk about reluctant saints. I've been in ministry now for 40 years, so I know all about reluctant saints. You see, this is not only true of Moses, but each of us, where the Lord wants us to do something that we are not inclined to do. Now, you can see yourself in the picture of this man. And the Lord said to Moses, and by the way, I can just kind of hear the Lord kind of beginning to grind a little and begin to get a little firm with him. Read with me verse 11. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him dumb or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, I think it is important to see that this is a general statement that God just talking to him. And it really isn't dealing with the complexities of life in which there are deformities and pain and agony that we experience in this world. This question really has to do with, did I not create people? Did I not create you, Moses? Do I not know what I'm doing up here? And he is saying, who made you, Moses? Did I not make you? And the purpose of the Lord speaking this way is that he's saying, I am the deliverer, Moses. Who made your mouth? Who can make the blind man to see? Is it not I, the Lord? And you see, the kind of people that God is looking for are people who are willing to call upon Him, those who will trust Him, those who will come His way, those who will take the time to turn aside and see the ways in which God speaks to us. And God speaks to us like that burning bush. You know, if Moses had not turned aside to see that burning bush, he would have never heard God talk to him. But he was a man who says, this is curious. I want to find out if there's anything to this. And he goes up on that hill, and he goes up to the burning bush. And then it says, when God saw that he turned aside, okay, I'm going to talk to him now. And I think there's a great truth in there. It doesn't matter whether it's Moses 3,500 years ago or whether it's you or me today. God wants to use us as his people. In fact, God wants to make a Moses out of you in some ways. He wants you to be a person who brings life and blessing to other people, who brings the kingdom of God into other people's lives and helps them get out of the bondage that they may be suffering from in this world. And the general principle here is that the Lord says, now, mister, if you've got a problem that seems to be an obstacle to your believing my purpose will be fulfilled in you, God says, I'm putting that back on you. Who made you? And by the way, I don't make junk. And God will not be intimidated by our doubts. Now, it doesn't matter whether it is a bush that is telling you what to do in terms of service for the Lord God, or whether it's me, or it's somebody else says, I need you to do this. I think God wants you to work in this area. I think God should do that. But, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's a bush or whether it's a person. It also doesn't matter whether you get a sign from God and say, oh, God. You know, you had those little signs, haven't you? Those things that's, ooh, I think God's talking to me. And yet you can't take those to the bank, can you? You can't do that. And yet you know that it might be God talking to you, and you say, And you're a reluctant saint. I don't want to do that. And God says to you, hey, you got a problem? I'm going to put it back on you. Did I not make you? Do I not think that you can do this? Read with me verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Notice here that God didn't say that Moses knew all that he needed to know right now. God says, you just go, and when you get into this thing, I'm going to teach you what to say at that particular moment, because that's when you're going to need the right words anyway. So you don't need to have it all rehearsed before you go into it. Read with me verse 13. But he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray, some other person. Now, here comes Bright Eyes Deliverer again. As I said, this is where the rubber hits the road. And see yourself in this picture. There comes a point when each of us just say, no, I'm not going to do it. Get somebody else. Whether it is teaching a Sunday school class or singing in a choir cantata, or giving to the church, or making peace with a person that you're angry with, or going to prison and serving on a great banquet team in prison, or letting go of an unforgiving spirit against another person, or working on a great banquet team, or going to a great banquet in the first place, or going on a mission trip like Haiti, or when we went down to Jamaica, or whether you're working with the youth, or you want to restore a broken relationship with a parent or child, or working to preserve a marriage that you know is on the rocks, or whether it's seeing that neighbor who has no faith and trying to make a friend and help that person maybe get into the kingdom of God, or getting involved in a crisis of another person and their life, or whatever, such as just getting off your backside and getting your derriere into church or to Sunday school, whatever it may be. God puts a lot of calls upon our lives to be His ministers, to be His servants, to be His deliverers in this world that is really dying. And a lot of times we're just like Moses at this point, and we say, get somebody else. It's what I call an SEP, somebody else's problem. And God may have called you to do something about it, but guess what? Yeah, get somebody else, God. I don't want to be the one to do that. So let's read verses 14 to 17. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well, and behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart, and you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He shall speak for you to the people. He shall be a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take in your hand this rod with which you shall do the signs. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now I have to tell you, that really does encourage me for two reasons. First, God is not wishy-washy. And he does get angry. You see, occasionally anger is needed because it can bring two people to a point of understanding. That's the first thing here. God brings Moses to a point of understanding. I think the Lord sometimes runs out of patience with us. I can hear, oh no, Jack. Don't tell me that. I thought he was all full of grace and mercy. Oh, no. Well, it says right here, the Lord was ticked off. Well, Jack, that doesn't mean he was impatient. Well, you may have a point there, but his patience is tested. The Lord's anger was kindled against Moses. Can you see the burning bush? It starts getting brighter. More BTUs coming off of it. And God says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? Now the Lord God, the creator of the universe, is angry. Isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can talk. He's a minister. He can talk. And God says, look here, Moses, I'll tell you what. He's coming out here to meet you, and when he sees you, he is even going to be glad to see you in his heart, and you will speak to him, and you will put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth. And with your mouth and his mouth, I'll teach you what you shall do. You shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth to the people. And you shall be to him like God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, and you'll do the signs. And Moses probably said at that point, okay, I'll be the thrower-downer. Aaron can be the picker-upper when the thing turns into a snake. And then I think God just kind of says, now you pick up your stuff and get your rear end moving. And the bush burns a little bit brighter. A few more BTUs come off of it. Now, I want you to know something, this truth. God and Satan know your potential better than you do. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I can't do that, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. And the thing about that, God will put you into positions where you feel like you can't do it, but He knows your potential better than you do. And one of the things that Satan will do is he'll try to nip you in the bud because he knows your potential better than you do too. The Lord first demonstrates His irritation with a man who fears to the point of paralysis, but God in His anger still says, we're going through this, Moses. Now pick up that rod and get moving. And the Lord says, Moses, you've got to be the final case. I've shown you a burning bush here. You threw that stick down and it turned into a snake. I've given you my name. I've told you my name, my identity. I've demonstrated all the traits and attributes of my person towards you. I've given you the three miracle signs to go by. I have reminded you that I am your creator. Who created you? I said I will teach you, and on top of that, you have the unmitigated gall to say that you don't think you can handle it. Don't you feel? I've always thought that if God had come out of the bush, He would have put His finger right in Moses' chest and say, listen here, you idiot. Don't you feel like God is trying to get to a point across to this reluctant saint? And I'm trying to get a point across to reluctant saints. And I'm not a burning bush, but maybe I am the voice of God today for you. And God is just trying to get a point across to this reluctant saint and maybe a few of us. God is trying to get His point across where He says, hey, buddy, I never called you because you could handle the job, but because I can handle it in you and through you, will you believe that? And I can see that bush burn a little bit brighter again. Moses still has his doubts. And God finally says, well, it's not up to you anyway. And I can just see God kind of grabbing him by the scruff of the neck and saying, Aaron's coming down the road. Now you just take this rod and get moving. Now I did say there were two things that this incident encourages me. The second thing is this. God does not say, hey, mister, you said it, you've lost your chance. God looks at a man who is living in the limitations of his own doubts and fears. And I want you to hear that. He is talking to a man who is living in the limitations of his own doubts and fears. And so many times, that's our issues as well, our own doubts and fears. But down in his heart, Moses is a man who wants to serve God. In fact, 40 years earlier, he tried in his own stupid way to do that. So God knows that he wants to down in his heart, but he is limited by his own doubts and fears when God is really talking to him. And you may be that kind of person too, a reluctant saint. And because you live in your own limitations, you don't think you can do things. But when God has people like that whose hearts are right, then He can do it. He can get it done in anybody like that. Now, I know that more than likely I'm talking to a bunch of reluctant saints because I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I'm here to tell you I have been running into reluctant saints ever since the first day that I was ordained, when I was the original reluctant saint. Says, I can't do this. And you can too. Mission impossible? Well, mission impossible is God wants to make a Moses out of you. And He wants to make a Moses out of us as a church. And sometimes He gives us these missions that look impossible to us. But as he said to Moses, it's not up to you anyway. I can get it done through you in spite of you. And he says, go on now. We'll take care of this as we go. Let's pray. Lord, we are often your reluctant saints, especially when it gets up close and personal. And so I pray that we would take to heart the example of Moses at the burning bush talking to you. And that we would take it to heart that sometimes you give us those things that we don't want to do. And we say, give me somebody else to do it. So teach us to look to you and to do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.